Today, we are wrapping up a series that we've been in for the last 6 weeks called Building Great Relationships. I want to invite you to lean in today and really listen. You should have got some notes when you came in. You can go ahead and get those out and get ready to take some notes today, because today I want to talk to you about the most important relationship of your life. I want to talk to you about the greatest relationship of your life. Now, we've talked about lots of different relationships in our lives the last few weeks. We talked about friendships and how to become the kind of friend we've always wanted to be, to have healthy, committed, long-lasting friendships. We talked about our relationships in the church, how we relate to each other as the body of Christ, what it means to be in church membership. We talked about marriage, principles of a godly marriage. We've talked about family, how to have an awesome family. We've covered a lot of different territory in the last few weeks, and I hope you've enjoyed it. Has this been good for you? I hope you've really gotten something out of this. You've been encouraged. Hopefully, there's been something for everyone. But today, I want to talk to you about the most important relationship of your life, the one relationship that you have to get right. This message is for everybody, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're a young person, whether you're a college student or retired, whether you're divorced. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you are in your journey of life. I want to talk to you about the most important relationship of your life, and that is your relationship with God. That is your relationship with God. I want to talk to you today about becoming best friends with God. Becoming best friends with God. Now think about this for a moment. Do you remember how big a deal it was when you were a kid to be accepted and to have friends? Think about that for a moment. You know, it's funny, as adults, we get busy and we actually have to have sermons to remind us to make time to have friends. But when you were a kid, that was a huge deal. Being accepted and having friends was huge, right? Do you remember when kids were picking teams on the playground? If you got picked last, how that felt? That didn't feel good, did it? You did not want to get picked last. You were like, pick me over here, put me in, right? You didn't want to be left out. You wanted to be a part of what was happening. Do you remember what it was like to hope that somebody would ask you to go to the big dance and you didn't get that invitation? Nobody asked you and you missed out. Do you remember what it was like if you never got the chance to sit at the cool kids' table at lunch? That was a big deal, wasn't it? Right? You wanted to get that invitation. You wanted to be accepted. Why is that? Because being accepted, friendships, that's a huge part of our lives, especially when you were a kid. When I was a freshman in high school, I remember showing up to high school. I weighed about 105 pounds soaking wet. I was just scrawny, man. I had glasses. That was back in the day before these geeky glasses were really cool. I had glasses so thick you could see into the future, okay? I could predict people's future. I had braces. I mean, listen, my parents did not set me up for success, okay? They sent me to high school with these glasses and this mouth gear, and it was just bad. And somewhere a few months into it, I realized I was not one of the cool kids. I was actually one of the geeky kids, and I was not okay with that. I was not exactly a hit with the ladies my freshman year of high school, okay? So I got determined. I'm like, you know what? Before it's all said and done, I'm going to be the most popular kid in this whole stinking school. And you know what? I did it. I worked hard for the 4 years after that. I was friendly. I made friends with everybody. I was that guy that walked through the hall like I was running for president. I was smiling, shaking hands, kissing babies, everything. And by my senior year, I actually won the award for most popular, and I can still claim that today. My wife kind of rolls her eyes when I say that. You know, she laughs at me. But I was determined, and it was because I felt that sense of, like, you know, rejection when I was a freshman. Now, it kind of helped that I gained about 50 pounds through high school, grew a few inches, got rid of the glasses, and got contacts. That kind of helped out, too. But the thing is, being accepted and having friends, that's a huge part of our lives, especially when you're a young person. But here's the thing I want you to realize today. You may have never been invited to sit at the cool kids' table. You may have never been asked to the prom by the best-looking kid in school. You may have never been prom king or prom queen, but the God of all creation wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be friends with you. Now listen, we relate to God in a lot of different ways. God's our creator, God's our savior, God's our Lord, he's our master, he's our judge, he's our provider, he's all of these things. But did you know that God actually wants to be your friend? Think about that for a moment. It's kind of shocking. God actually wants to be our friend. And I want to ask you this question as we go into this. Just kind of have a moment with yourself. When you ask yourself this question, what answer comes to mind? What kind of relationship does God really want to have with you? How do you conceive of that? How do you think about that? How do you think of your relationship with God? I think a lot of us come from a background where God seems like a really distant God, or God seems like the man upstairs, or this God that has to be appeased or pleased. But I want you to think about, how do you really conceive of this relationship that God wants to have with you? And the good news I have for you today is the scripture shows us that God wants to have a friendship with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. In fact, in James chapter 4, verse 8, it says this, "Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you." That means if we want to be close to God, God actually wants to be close to us. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't play relationship games? God doesn't play games. If you want to be close to Him, God wants to be close to you. If you draw close to Him, He'll draw close to you. And so God has always wanted to have a relationship with humanity. Now we see this play out first and foremost in the book of Genesis. When God created everything, we see God's relationship with Adam and Eve in the garden. Do you remember reading about some of that stuff, maybe in Sunday school? And what do we see? We see that God literally walked with Adam and Eve. He had a close, intimate relationship with them in the garden. It was a picture of the kind of relationship that God wanted to have with humanity, that He wants to have with humanity. There was just a simple, loving relationship between God and Adam and Eve. There was no religious rites. There were no ceremonies. There were none of these sacred things they had to do. They just had this simple, loving relationship. They walked in intimacy and in friendship. Well, what happened? Well, we read further that the curse of sin is what happened. The fall of man is what happened. And this relationship between God and humanity was tarnished, wasn't it? There's this separation. That friendship was ruined by the curse of sin because God is a holy God and He can have nothing to do with sin. And you fast forward a little bit into the Old Testament, and do you know that not many people were called a friend of God? See, we read in the beginning of the story that God wanted to have this friendship with humanity. He walked with Adam and Eve. The curse of sin happens. And here's what we find out. Not many people in the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible, got to really experience friendship with God. There were a few, Abraham, Moses, King David, some of the great heroes of the faith that maybe are familiar to you. Those were people that, in fact, some of the scriptures actually say they had friendship with God. They knew God as a friend, but not many people got to know God that way. In fact, for many people, the only way they knew God was that He was a distant God, that He was a God to be pleased, that He was a God they were fearful of, and they only knew a God that they revered and they feared, and there was a guilt complex, but not many people got to know intimate, close fellowship with God. And it persisted like that for generations and generations until we fast forward to the New Testament. What happened? Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up, the Son of God, God in flesh and blood. And the scripture says He came to us and He dwelt among us. And God was restoring His fellowship with humanity in the very person of His Son, Jesus. He literally walked and talked in fellowship. He called 12 disciples around Him. Jesus hung out with a bunch of dudes. He did life with a bunch of guys. I mean, if that isn't a picture of a God who wants to come down and have a relationship with us and restore this friendship with us. And that's what we see. And so Jesus restores this relationship that we can have with God, this friendship we can have with God. And then He really embodied that when He went to the cross for our sins. First of all, He taught us how to live a righteous life through His teachings. He taught us how to live in sync in relationship with God. Then He embodied this. He went to the cross. He paid for our sins on the cross. He died for our sins on the cross. And He was resurrected. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. But most importantly, He conquered this barrier that separates humanity from God. And He restored relationship. In fact, the scripture says on the day that Jesus died, on Good Friday, the temple in Jerusalem, there was a veil in the temple. It literally was split down the middle in half, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. It split when Jesus died, symbolically, because Jesus took away any barrier that separates us from a relationship with God. Isn't that good news this morning? Jesus made it possible for us to go directly into God's presence. That's what that veil symbolized in the temple. Only the priests could go beyond that point. But Jesus symbolically tore that apart, and He has opened God's presence to all of us, so much so that we can have friendship with God. Isn't that good news this morning? We can have friendship with God. We can have a relationship with God. Our relationship with God is restored because Jesus made direct access with God available. Romans chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, "We were restored to friendship with God by the death of His Son while we were still His enemies." That means while we were still sinners, while we were still distant from Him, Jesus went to the cross for us to restore relationship. So we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by His life. Now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends of God. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling us. That's what Jesus did by going to the cross for us. One of the things that He did is He restored our friendship, our relationship with God. You see, you can't buy God's friendship. You can't earn God's friendship. You can't do enough things for all of a sudden God accepts you to sit at the cool kids table. It doesn't work that way. Some people you can bribe your way in. You can schmooze with them and earn their friendship, right? But that doesn't work that way with God. There's only one way. It's through his son. It's by his grace and through his son that we can enter into a relationship with God the Father. Now, Jesus said something amazing. In John chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said something amazing. Listen to what he said to his disciples, and I believe this applies to us as followers of Jesus. He says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. I no longer call you servants, but now I call you friends. The word servant in the scripture there in the original Greek can also mean slaves, okay? This is a very strong contrast. I no longer have a master to slave, a master to servant relationship, but no, you have become my friends. And then here, the word friends is not just everyday average acquaintances. No. This is a deep, trusted friendship. The original word here, it has the connotation of a close friendship. It's the same word that would have been used for the best man at a wedding. It's the same word that would have been used for the king's inner circle of confidants, his close, trusted, intimate friends. Here's what Jesus is saying. I have come so that your relationship with God can be so close that it's no longer a servant master, but it's a friendship. It's an intimate relationship. And I don't know about you, but it kind of blows my mind for a moment to stop and think, you know, how is that possible to even talk about being friends with God? Maybe you've never conceived of that before. Maybe you come from a religious tradition where the thought of God being your friend, it seems like something very, very distant. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I stop and think, you know, how is it that an all-knowing, all-powerful, creative God who's invisible, who I can't see, how is it possible for me as a finite, limited human being to have a relationship with God? Doesn't that kind of seem kind of out there in some way? When you think about it, it kind of explodes your brain, doesn't it? And I'll tell you, the only way it's possible is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's through a relationship with Jesus. Let me tell you this, whenever you wonder what God is like, you're going through a season of life where, like, God, where are you? What are you doing? God, sometimes I don't even know what you're like. If you want to know what God is like, look no further than his son, Jesus Christ. Because God has revealed himself to us in scripture, in creation, in our conscience, right and wrong. But his greatest revelation of himself to us, the benefit that you and I have living in this time as people in his church, is that he's revealed himself to us through his son, Jesus. And Jesus came to restore that relationship, that friendship with God. And so it's only possible that we can know God because of his son, Jesus. So today I want to give you some principles to help you build your relationship with God. This has been a very practical series, a teaching series where we've been filling in a lot of blanks and really giving you some material that you can take. And so I want to invite you to find those notes if you haven't already. And I want to give you four ways to start building a friendship with God. You see, you have to cultivate your relationship with God just like any other relationship. If you're going to have a friendship with God, you're going to have to cultivate that with time and effort and openness, okay? We have to pursue a relationship with God just like we would with anybody else. So I'm going to give you some principles here to kind of help you do that so we can just make this practical and just get after this. Here's the first one. Number one, make knowing God my number one priority. If you're going to have a friendship with God, you have to make knowing God the number one priority of your life. Let me put it to you this way. We are never going to become friends with God in our spare time. You're never going to become friends with God in your spare time. In fact, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, seek first his kingdom. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Seek when? Seek first. It's got to be a priority. If you're going to have a friendship with God, if you're going to have a close, intimate relationship with God, you've got to prioritize that. In fact, it's got to become your greatest priority. Jesus said this. He gave us the great commandment. He summed up all of the Bible. And in one phrase, he said, it's two things. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. That's all in. That's prioritizing your relationship with God. And the second thing is love your neighbor as yourself. That's the kind of relationship we have to have. That's the kind of priority we have to place on our relationship with God. You know, here's what that looks like. For me, first thing in the morning, every morning, I set aside time to be in God's presence. I'm a to-do list kind of person. I make to-do lists. Any of you guys in here make to-do lists on a regular basis? Oh, you're my people. Thank you so much. Love you. Thank you. See you. I'm with you. To-do list people, right? Organized, administrative type people. Man, I love you so much. I make to-do lists for everything, okay? My son laughed at me. One day I was real busy. I forgot to shave. I put shaving on my to-do list. Aaron laughed at me for weeks. I'm like, I had to remember to shave. But you know what I put at the top of my to-do list every day? My devotion time. That's at the top of my to-do list. And even every morning, I just talk to God. And listen, I'm not saying you have to block out an hour every morning. If you can do that, that's wonderful. But I at least start my day. Sometimes it's even in the shower. I'm in the shower. Some people sing in the shower. I'm praying in the shower. I sing sometimes every now and then too. My wife tells me to knock that off. But I'm praying, Lord, thank you for this day. God, thank you for the gift of this day. God, thank you that I slept in a warm bed last night. God, thank you for this clean shower. God, thank you for my family. God, thank you for your goodness in my life. I just begin talking to God. I set that time apart. And sometimes I do my prayer time. I block out that time and do it in the morning. Sometimes I do it in the afternoon. But I always start the day with that kind of, you know, getting in touch with God. I just prioritize that. And I want to encourage you to do that. You can do that on your commute. You can do that as you're getting ready in the morning. Just have that time where you just prioritize your relationship with God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, the Apostle Paul said this, "Everything is worthless compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus. I've discarded everything else, counting it all garbage so that I may know Christ." Here's the Apostle Paul. He had a lot to walk away from. He was a religious elite. He was trained. He was a scholar. He was someone who had a lot of reputation, a lot of respect. And he said, all of that is nothing compared to knowing Jesus Christ, compared to knowing him as my Savior, as my Lord. And I want to say this to you. You want to know how most people miss out on a relationship with God? Most people miss out on a relationship with God by caring about other things. It's actually a lot simpler than we make it. Most people, you know, a lot of people aren't atheists or agnostic. They're not necessarily mad at God. Some people are. Most people would even, probably a lot of your friends and family would even say, I think a relationship with God's a good thing. I think that you go to church is wonderful, even if they don't go. I would venture to say, I'm sure there's a few who would disagree. But there's a lot of people who think that the idea of a relationship with God is a good thing. It might even be something they're interested in. You know what keeps them from having a relationship with God? They're just more concerned about other things. It's not a priority. So it never happens. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 says this, "You will find me when you seek me with all of your heart." That's what God says. You will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. You have to go after God with all of your heart. You know, when I was in college, when I was pursuing my wife, Amy, I was going after her with all of my heart. I was in it to win it, baby. I was writing notes. I was taking her on dates to restaurants that I couldn't afford because I was just a broke college student. I was being romantic. I was buying gifts because I'm like, listen, after our first date, I'm like, I'm going to marry this girl. I knew it. Now, she'll tell you she wasn't so sure on our first date if she was going to marry me. But I'm so thankful that she eventually did ask me to marry her, and I said yes. Don't tell her. That's my version of the story. But I was pursuing her with all of my heart. My heart was invested in it. Let me say this to you today. Your relationship with God is the number one relationship, the most important relationship of your life. And you've got to pursue it that way. You've got to pursue it that way. You've got to make time for it. You have to prioritize it. You have to be vested in it. And you have to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of life. So that's the first principle. Here's the second one. This is simple. We're talking about principles of how to build a friendship with God, how to become best friends with God. The second one is this, slow down and be quiet. Slow down and be quiet. That's a polite way of saying it. We got to slow down. Like any friendship, you have to make time for your friendship with God. You have to make time for it. You have to prioritize it. Like any friendship, you've got to slow down. You got to make some time for God. You have to prioritize it. And you have to just be still sometimes and be quiet. Here's what Psalm chapter 46, verse 10 says. This is a famous scripture in the Bible. The psalmist says this, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." You know what the Lord's saying to us through that scripture? He's saying, slow down, be quiet, quit trying to figure out everything. Quit trying to have the answer for everything. In fact, this psalm, the context of this psalm is the psalmist is crying out because he's going through some stuff and he needs God to be his refuge. And God's response is, slow down, be quiet, be still, and know that I'm God. I'm God and you ain't. I'm God and I've got this and you don't. But sometimes we just have to slow down and we have to be still to hear his voice and to have that relationship with him. You see, most of the time, we don't sense God's presence in our life. We don't have a sense of this relationship with him. We don't have a sense of his will for our lives or hear his voice because we're just too busy to hear from him. We're just too busy to know him. I think about an old radio. You remember old radios before the digital dials? When you were in between stations, you would get the static, right? When you were searching for that radio station, you'd hear nothing but static until you tuned exactly in. Sometimes it was just you had to tweak it and just make sure you had it just right to where you could tune in and get that radio station and you could hear it. But it was just static and fuzz until you got there. And sometimes that's how it is in our relationship with God. The reason we can't hear God's voice, the reason we don't have a sense of this relationship, the reason we don't have a sense of His will in our lives is because all we're hearing is static because we're not tuned in to Him. If you want to hear His voice, you got to get on His radio dial. You've got to get tuned in to your relationship with Him. Psalm chapter 25, verse 14 says this: the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear or reverence Him. This doesn't mean fear like you're scared of Him, but this is those who reverence Him, and He makes known to them His covenant. See, so many people are going through life, they don't know God, they don't know His ways, they don't know about Him, they don't understand what He's doing in this world, and they have no idea the things of God. Because why? Because they don't reverence Him. They don't reverence Him. You ever get around somebody who doesn't know much about God, then they start talking about God like they know about God? And you're like, wait, that's not in the Bible. Like, that's not what Christians believe. No, that's not how we look at God. That's not how we believe those things. And they're angry at God for all these things that God didn't even do. So many people are there. Why? Because they don't reverence God. They haven't made time to actually know Him, to know His ways. So they have all of these confusing ideas about who He is. Listen to me. Many people have good intentions about a relationship with God. They just never slow down and make time for it. Most of us have good intentions. You're here today. You're the faithful people. You set your clocks ahead. I'm so proud of you. But I know how life is, especially in this busy, hectic, fast-paced life that we can live, especially here in New York. We got to slow down and make time. Sometimes you just got to stop everything and just get in God's presence. You need to open your devotional. If you don't have a good devotional, you need to get one. Get your Bible out and just say, God, speak to me. God, I want to hear Your voice. Speak to me from Your word, God. What are You saying in my life? What do you want to do in my life? What do You want to do? I have a big decision I have to make. God, I want to hear Your voice. I want to know that You're there. You just got to stop. You got to make time to hear from Him. Here's the third thing. If we're going to have a relationship with God, if we're going to be best friends with God, you have to maintain a constant conversation. Maintain a constant conversation. I'm talking about prayer. This is talking about prayer. So you'll never build a relationship with God by just attending church on Sunday morning. This is a great place to be. We need to gather together in corporate worship. There are some things that God can only do through corporate worship. He has called us to gather in fellowship and be together as a church. We talked about that a few weeks ago, didn't we? We talked about what it means to be a part of the body of Christ, members of Christ. We need to be together in worship. But listen to me, your relationship with God is not something you do once a week. It's about all the other days of the week as well, right? Worship isn't just something that happens on Sunday. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is living in sync with God, in harmony with God, walking in His ways, knowing His word, having fellowship with His Spirit. That's what knowing God is all about. It's about maintaining this constant conversation. And prayer is the bedrock of that. Prayer is the foundation of that. At the beginning of the year, we started off our year with a series on prayer, praying with confidence. And the goal of that series, like the heart of that series, the main idea of that series was that there is no greater discipline, spiritual habit that will impact your relationship with God like prayer. There was nothing that will give you a greater sense of a relationship with God, of being close to God. There's nothing that will grow you in your walk with God than prayer. It's just maintaining a conversation with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Apostle Paul puts it very simple. He says, never stop praying. In fact, some of you know the more traditional language, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You say, Pastor Jeremy, how does that work? I have a job. I have kids. I have responsibilities. I have things to do. Am I supposed to go lock myself away in a cave like a monk and just pray all day? Is that what this is talking about? No. This is talking about cultivating a lifestyle of prayer. This is talking about cultivating a lifestyle of prayer, so much so that it's just a part of who we are all throughout the day. We're just talking to God. As we face situations, we're just talking to God. We're just asking for His wisdom in the shower, driving, at work. God, here comes that person that drives me crazy every day. Oh, Jesus, help me. It's just praying all throughout the day. Let me ask you this question. Would your life be better if you prayed as much as you texted? How would your life, how would your relationship with God be if you prayed as much as you texted? You know the nature of texting, right? Some of you have really good close friends and family, and you just kind of text all throughout the day. It's like a running conversation, right? Like the texts just kind of go all throughout the day. You know, my dear wife and my mother-in-law, they just text all throughout the day. I mean, I have to have unlimited talk and text for my wife and her mother alone, okay? You know, that's a priority. Because her and her mom, they just stay in constant communication. I tell people it takes two women in my life to make my life work, my wife and my mother-in-law. I need both of them. And they're in constant communication all the time. They're texting throughout the day. They're on the phone. They're Skyping. And why is that? Because they're close. Because they're close. They have a very close relationship. And it's just a wonderful picture of what our prayer life can be like. See, we have to reconceive the way we think about prayer. The problem with prayer is we think of it as this kind of tedious, boring, painful thing that we have to do, you know. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we have these pictures of, like, you know, prayer just being something that's not really enjoyable. But the truth is, prayer is having a relationship with God. Prayer is texting God. Prayer is just an ongoing conversation with God all throughout the day. And so nothing will impact your spiritual life. Nothing will give you a greater sense that you have a relationship and a closeness to God as maintaining a conversation with Him, a running conversation all throughout the day. It doesn't have to be these grandiose, wonderful, impressive prayers. It's just the simple prayers that we need all throughout the day. I don't know about you, but I need God all throughout the day. There are plenty enough challenges. There are plenty enough temptations. There are plenty enough opportunities to screw up. There are plenty enough people that drive you crazy. We need to be praying. We need God's help. Here's the fourth thing. We're talking about cultivating a relationship with God, being best friends with God. Here's the fourth thing, and fourth and final thing for today. You got to trust God in your pain. You got to trust God in your pain. Listen, you have to trust God in general, but here's one that will catapult you. Here's one that will cause your friendship with God to grow, is when you trust God through your pain. Because many people trust God. They have a belief in God until they get into a painful situation, and often that's where they lose friendship with God. But you have to trust God in your pain. See, every friendship is built on trust, isn't it? Isn't that true? How many of you know that's true? You guys awake this morning? How many of you know that friendships are built on trust? We talked about this early on in the series, and we said the difference between friends and acquaintances is the word trust. You talk to acquaintances, but you trust friends. You don't just go telling anybody at work anything about your business unless you trust them, right? Trust is the foundation of any friendship. If you don't trust somebody, they're not really your friend. You might call them your friend, but you trust your real friends. And we have to trust God. And we have to especially trust God in our pain. Psalm chapter 55, verse 22. Listen to what the psalmist says about this. He says, cast all your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Man, that's a good promise, isn't it? How many of you need to grab a hold of that promise? You might just need to circle that scripture today if you're going through a difficult time right now, if you're facing some challenges, if you really just need to know that God is there, that He's with you. God cares about you. That's what the scripture says. And He will sustain you. He will sustain you. Now listen to me, God does allow us to go through some painful situations, doesn't He? I don't believe God causes and orchestrates all of our painful situations. I'd rather blame that on the curse of sin and the fallen condition of this world. I believe God is the author of good gifts, but God does allow us to go through painful seasons at times. And we could do a whole series on that alone, but let me just give you one idea. One of the reasons that God allows us to go through painful seasons is because it draws us closer to Him. How many of you know that's true? I'm not saying it's the only reason. I'm not saying God sent that thing into your life. But one of the things that God does, because He's a redemptive God. See, that's what's wonderful about God. He doesn't create all the problems, but even though you walk through them, He redeems them for your good. He works in your life. The scripture says that all things work together for good. That doesn't mean everything actually works out the way you want it to. It works out for good because God does something in you. It's about what God's doing in you. People get way more fixated on the circumstances with that scripture. It's actually more about what God's doing in you. He's perfecting you into the image of His Son, Jesus. He's making you more like Himself. But one of the things that happens when we're going through painful times is we get closer to God, don't we? That pain fuels our passion to know God. Man, when you're in pain, you don't pray little sissy, now I lay me down to sleep prayers, do you? I don't know about you, but when I'm in pain, I'm crying out to God, oh God, help me, where are you, oh Lord? When I'm afraid, when I'm stressed, when I'm overwhelmed, and I don't have the answers, I start praying like a black Pentecostal preacher. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. I start claiming those promises, man. There's times I pray like that. I start crying out to God. God, I don't know what to do. When we were trying to launch this church and get this church off the ground, you better believe I was praying some prayers like that. I live close to a local Catholic parish. It's wonderful. It's quiet in there. People come in, light their prayer candles, do their cross, and leave. I'm the crazy Pentecostal burning circles up in there. They have to wax the floors just for me. Because when I'm stressing out, my wife's like, get out the house and go pray. I go pray. And I'm crying out to God. But that's what pain does. It causes you to draw closer to God. And I'll tell you this, all jokes aside, the times in my life when I've gotten closest to God were those times when I was crying out to him because I was in pain, because I had a need, because I was overwhelmed. As I look back over my life, those are the times when I got closest to God, because God is a redemptive God. One of the wonderful things that he does is in those times when we most need him, he draws us close to himself. That's the wonderful thing. He doesn't play games. He doesn't push us away. But as we cry out to him, he pulls us closer to himself. And we get closer to him and we grow. See, why am I mentioning that in a sermon today about friendship with God? Here's why. If you don't do that, the alternative is you can become bitter. Are you listening this morning? You might need to add this to your notes. If you don't do that in those times when you're hurting, in those times when you have questions, in those times when you don't have the answers, if you don't draw close to God, what you can be tempted to do is get bitter. And bitterness is the number one thing that'll kill your relationship with God. See, here's what I'm saying today. You got to have an honest, open, and authentic relationship with God. Just like any friendship, right? Friendships that are really deep, that are really committed, that are really trusting, you can be open. You can speak your mind. You can say what you got to say. Sometimes we approach God and we think that we can't just be open and real with him. Listen, God can handle it. God can handle your pain. God can handle your pain. You ever read the Psalms before? You ever read King David? I think David was schizo, man. I think David needed medication. He was all over the place, man. You ever read this guy? Like multiple personality disorder. Lord, where are you? Lord, you've abandoned me. Lord, things couldn't get worse. Yet, well, I praise you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Have you read the Psalms? Dude was crying out to God. He was bringing his complaints. He was bearing his soul. He was saying, God, are you in this with me? Where are you? Listen, God can handle that. Much better for you to do that, to go to God in openness and honesty and say, God, I don't understand why this situation happened. God, this didn't go the way I thought it would. God, I didn't think that person would hurt me. God, I thought you were going to give me this thing, and I don't understand why it didn't happen, but God, I choose to trust you. He can handle it. And you know what happens when you do that? You develop a close, intimate, authentic, and real relationship with God, and it keeps you from being bitter. Because so many people have had a wonderful relationship with God until they got into a season of pain, and they lost it. And they lost it. I know some of you are hurting today. I know some of you have experienced loss. You've gone through something. You have some questions. There's some things that maybe none of us will never have the perfect answer for. Even if we went out and sat over a cup of coffee and you asked me, what do you think about this, pastor? I might not have the perfect answer. I don't claim to have it all figured out. But I can tell you one thing. When you draw close to God in those times is when he'll draw close to you, and he'll keep you, and he'll never let the righteous fall. He will sustain you. He promises to be with us. He promises that he'll never leave us nor forsake. He may not do everything the way you thought he would do it, but he will be close to you. So as we close today, I want to speak to two categories of people today. Two categories of people. Number one, for those of you who are going through pain, who are going through a trial, who are going through a struggle right now, you have a need, or God hasn't shown up or done the thing that you thought he was going to do. Listen to me, I want to tell you today, don't give up. This is the time to hold on to God. This is not the time to abandon ship. Are you listening to me this morning? This is the time to hold on to him. This is the time to draw close to him. As we opened the first scripture of the day in James chapter 4, right? If you draw close to him, he will draw close to you. Listen, he will sustain you, and he will never let you fall. This is the time to hold on to him. God will help you. Listen, even if you're the one who screwed up, I know some of you are innocently in a situation, but even if you're the one who messed things up, you're facing a problem that you created. Listen to me. God is a God of grace. Aren't you thankful for that? He will meet you. He will sustain you. He will keep you. You might have to walk through some things. You might have to walk through some of the ramifications of what happened, but God will sustain you. And now's the time to draw close to him. Here's the second group I want to address. And that's those of you who kind of feel the sense that you've drifted from God. You just don't feel the closeness that you used to have. I'm not just talking about the emotional fuzzies and things that happen when worship. Those things are wonderful, but a sense that you have this relationship with God. Maybe you would say, I used to feel like I had a friendship with God. I used to feel close to God. I felt like I was in relationship with him, and now I just kind of feel this distance. I don't know what happened. Maybe you got away from him over time. Maybe you're coming back to church for the first time in a long time. We're so glad you're here. We started Redemption for people who didn't have a church, who haven't been in church for years. Maybe you're just kind of here, checking church out, kind of putting your foot in the water. A friend invited you, and this whole thing is new to you. We're so glad you're here today. We love you. Welcome home. If you're looking for a place to be welcomed, welcome home. Here's what I want to tell you. God will meet you. God hasn't given up on you. God has a plan for you. And if you draw close to him, he will draw close to you. And he can restore a sense of friendship with you. As we close today, I want to say this to you. This is the number one purpose of our lives, knowing God and loving God. Listen to me. If you go through this life and you achieve all of these other things, it doesn't matter how successful you become. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what kind of reputation you get. It doesn't matter how you climb the socioeconomic ladder. If you get to the end of your life and you have all of these names and all of these achievements and all of these awards and you don't know God, you have missed the purpose of life. You have missed the purpose of life. To have a relationship with God. It is the greatest purpose of our lives. St. Augustine put it this way. He says, "Thou hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee." That means you're going to feel that sense of restlessness until you find your ultimate purpose in a relationship with God. And so many people are going through life. Maybe some of you here today. Certainly all of us have family and friends. They're going through life, and they're not centered. Do you know what I mean this morning? They're restless. They have this restlessness that St. Augustine talked about. They're not centered. They're not grounded because they've chased all of these things, all of these achievements. They've made money. They're doing all of these things. They've looked for status and relationships, but yet they don't have a friendship with their Creator, the very one who gave them the gift of life. And so would you stand with me today as I pray for you? So I pray for you this morning. I have one simple question. Everybody, just stay focused for just a moment as we bow our heads in prayer. This is a moment of prayer. This is a moment for us to just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. In just a moment, we're going to sing another worship song, but this is your moment just to be in God's presence. Here's the simple question I have for you this morning. What would it look like for you to be friends with God? What would that look like in your life? How would your life be different if you truly had friendship with God? What kind of peace of mind would you have? What kind of sense of wholeness would you have? What kind of healing would you experience? What sense of groundedness and centeredness would you have if at the foundation of your life you had a friendship with God? I'm here to tell you today, for those of you who haven't known that that's possible, that it's possible. Because as we read from the scriptures, God has restored to us a relationship with him, a friendship with him by his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the good news. And he wants to have a relationship with you. And it starts by simply calling out on him. So two things today. For those of you who have never made a decision to follow Christ, who have never received that gift that I described to you before, that gift of friendship, if you've never done that before, I want to pray for you first of all. We're going to pray together. You can just whisper a simple prayer in your heart to acknowledge, God, I want to know you. God, I want to have a relationship with you. God, I want to experience that friendship. Forgive me of sin. Forgive me of anything that's keeping me from having that relationship with you. Guilt from the past, whatever it is. And then I think all of us, if you consider yourself to be a committed Christian, I think all of us, our heart's desire should be, God, I want to know you more. God, I want to walk closer to you. God, I want to hear your voice. God, I want a sense of your presence in my life. God, I don't want to be restless, but I want to find rest in you. I want to be called your friend. God, I don't want to serve you like a servant or a slave. I don't want to serve you out of obligation, but I want to serve you out of gratitude, out of love because of your goodness and your mercy and your love for me. Do you want that this morning? What would that look like in your life? God, give us a vision of what that would look like in our lives. I want to pray for you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the good news that you have restored relationship with us by sending your Son Jesus to us. And Father, I pray first of all for those who have never made that decision, that choice to respond to your grace, to respond to what you've done for us by following you. God, I pray that they would simply pray a humble and sincere prayer. God, I want to follow you. God, I want friendship with you. God, I want a relationship with you. I receive your Son into my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I repent. I turn away from my sins. And I accept you today, God, into my life. I want a relationship with you. And then for all of us, God, for all of us, God, we want to know your love, God. We thank you that the word says that we can love you because you first loved us. God, give us a greater revelation of your love for us. God, thank you that we don't have to serve you as a chore, as an obligation, as something we have to do, but God, we can walk with you and we can know you and we can have a committed, intimate relationship with you because of what you've done for us, because of your love for us. So God, we invite you into our lives today. Draw us closer to you. May we have a sense of your friendship in our lives, in our homes, in our workplace, everywhere we go. God, may we find rest in you and purpose in you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.